You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up, the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Act of 2012 is soon to be reviewed by the government, and new research from Massey University uncovers core issues with the Act, particularly regarding how institutional racism impacts alcohol licensing decisions. I spoke to one of the team, Steve Randerson, this morning and started by asking about the prevalence of people with objections to liquor stores being in their neighbourhoods.
So we didn't look directly at prevalence because it's a qualitative study. So although we did talk to about 155 residents around the country, that was just under 20 in each neighbourhood that we went to. So we didn't get a measure of the overall prevalence, but numbers tended to be, in the case studies that we did, around 2 or 3 people that came to the hearing.
So what was the findings regarding how Māori perspectives are incorporated into legislation, I suppose, and whether the consultation process is fit to engage with all cultures?
Findings in that regard were very clear that the process was quite inappropriate for engaging with Māori. So there are a number of comments through the report which talk to both aspects of being excluded from the process, the legalistic kind of hearing setting being very off-putting for people. So some people who had been to witness one of these hearings decided they would never go back to one when they watched the cross-examination taking place. It just seemed that the feeling was, if you're wanting to look at opening a bottle store in a neighbourhood, then you should have a kind of open discussion about it rather than go into a contested hearing with lawyers on the each side of the process. It didn't seem to fit in terms of an appropriate consultation process. The other key findings in that regard were quite systematic too, going back to, I suppose, how the law is set up. It doesn't give recognition to te tiriti or waitangi. And then when it comes down to the composition of the committees who decide about local licences, they have to form an opinion about how the local area is being impacted by alcohol. And a number of people felt that their people were not well represented in those communities, and this is non-Pākehā objectors in particular, and thought that made it harder to get across to the committee actually how serious they felt the impacts were of alcohol in the area.
Right, so on that note, how accessible is the consultation process for just the average citizen?
Well, if you know about it, it's there. You can write a letter and make an objection, but few people do, and this is part of the issue, is that most people we talk to in the study never heard about it. There's a small kind of classified ad that goes in the newspaper saying that these applications are taking place, and the applicant is also required to put a notice on the shop front about A4 sized. And if people don't see that or start talking about it in the community, then sometimes it goes pretty well unseen. Then you also have to show that you, under the law, you have to show that you have a greater interest in the application than the general public. And this is another point at which people get challenged and excluded from making their objections. Generally, it's been accepted that if you live or work within about 2 kilometres of the bottle store, say, that's applying for a licence, you'll be able to talk. But often that can be challenged if you're sort of just over that distance or there's other reasons. It's not all that easy. And once you're there, you need to be quite well prepared, because usually anything you bring along to say will be challenged by the lawyers for the applicant's team.
So with your research group's newfound knowledge on the matter, from an evidence-based stance, what do you think might need to be incorporated into the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Act?
Well, one of our key conclusions was definitely to talk with Māori about how to give proper effect to te tiriti or waitangi within the legislation, so that Māori do have a say in matters affecting their local area in a consistent and appropriate way. It was also pretty clear that the level of evidence that's required of community members when they make an objection to a licence application is very, very high, particularly so if there aren't also objections from the public officials who have a role around alcohol. So that's people in public health, police and the licensing agencies. So if a community is objecting on their own, it's really very hard for them to bring the standard of evidence that's needed without that backup from the agencies. So it seems that a real overhaul is needed to consider actually what communities want. At the moment, it's just the evidence of harm that counts. And perhaps where there's high-risk types of licences, such as bottle stores, which sell a high volume of cheap alcohol, then there should potentially be a more appropriate investigative or consultative process that takes some of the burden off community members.
That was me speaking to Steve Randerson about his work that shows how institutional racism impacts alcohol licensing decisions.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.